And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy. And Nick, on last week's pod, I said before this game, previewing it, that it almost feels like round one. Like we've beaten the teams we should beat and we haven't really beaten, had any particularly meaningful wins. And I thought this game was going to tell us a lot. And we've gone and set a record for the most inside 50s ever for a Richmond game. And we didn't have Dustin Martin playing. And yet still, we only won by 10 points. How do you feel about the game?
It was, look, the conditions were tough. It had a lot of passion to it, which was good.
Can I just say here two things? That shout out to all the people on Twitter. We don't tend to work too controversially on Twitter. We don't like to, we just don't want.
Other people can do that.
Yes.
And do very well.
Exactly. And I'd just like to pay a tribute to all those people who posted the brilliant content on the week, the I Hate Carlton content, and just hats off, fully support it. You're doing God's work. And I should correct, we actually won by 15 points. What I meant was we had a 2-goal victory. Anyway, please continue, Nick.
Well, look, it was the disconnect watching the replay. You know, the heat and the passion taken out of it somewhat. It is amazing things like the score review on the it was Newman goal, shot at goal, which at the time was an enormous moment and felt almost overwhelming, and people were questioning it, and then you watch the replay, and it's the most obvious score review you've ever seen. Like, and took 10 seconds.
And at the ground, to the credit, the commentators noticed Broad's reaction straight away. At the ground, I didn't notice all of that. I was too far away. I was sitting on the wing, and I had no idea. I just
had my head in your hands.
My head in my hands, and I was thinking. I was actually thinking to myself, "Oh well, in the Port game, we got down by 3 points. So at least this isn't as bad as that." But of course, we've all got Carlton PTSD. So that was a horrific 20 seconds, and then it all switched. Of course.
Yeah. And then, you know, got the ball down the other end, and
the game was over.
And the game was over. Yeah, look, it was a tense game. The difference from round one with Dion Prestia playing a full game versus not was just enormous.
13 clearances, enormous, to be specific.
Yeah, stood up, and it was a frustrating game. I don't think our forward line worked particularly well at times. Lynch had a very good first half. There was a lot of long bombed kicks to big packs in our forward line. Partly because of conditions, partly just how the game turned out. But it nothing about it was easy. But yeah, I still feel pretty good.
Yeah, look, I feel really good about it. And, you know, that is partly why we're recording this on day afternoon.
Yeah.
The usual sort of Tuesday night. Look, I think self-evident we had, on the expected shots, on the advance way of measuring it, we scored exactly what we were meant to. Mm. And so we only scored 81 points, and yet we had the record number of inside 50s. That's a sign that your forward line wasn't operating that well.
It was a bit disjointed.
We weren't converting inside 50s into goals, but partly that's because having Tom Lynch back, Tom Lynch to our midfield, as much as he's a hard man, he's a big, soft, cuddly, comforting blanket. Because you know, you kick it long to him, he will contest it.
Yeah.
There were moments, the goal that Jack kicked from roving from his contest.
In the second quarter. It was gorgeous.
The TV camera he tripped. He was so out of position in that contest. And you thought the Carlton player is going to take an uncontested mark, but he got back, created the contest, forced the Carlton player to punch. He makes every midfield kick look so good. And, you know, it was a massive meters gained game. And I think you pointed out to me that Jaden Short had the most meters gained ever. Was that by a Richmond player or by an AFL player?
No, it was a season high. For an AFL player.
So clearly it's a game plan thing, and Dim has talked about it.
Quite close to an all-time figure as well.
Yeah, and so like it's a game plan thing, right? We are trying to play the game in our forward 50, and we are dump kinking in there a lot to Tom Lynch. And it was you should still that all that set. So you know, partly it is a game plan that we're not necessarily converting all our inside 50s, but we should do better than 81 points from the amount of territory domination we had. But still, the fact that we could put in that the ball inside 50 that often, I mean, that's really impressive against a team that's very good through the midfield.
Yeah. Dan Prestia, in his 183rd game, had a career high in clearances. And he's averaged 8.5 clearances a game for a whole season before. That was a monstrous effort from him. I thought we had a slight edge in the ruck with Nan Curvis, and I thought Balta held up as second ruck, unfortunately, until he got his hamstring injury. But yeah, it was a day for really hard grinding football through midfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, they're absolutely elite, and I think we've come long enough now. And I just encourage anyone who's not on Twitter and hasn't seen it yet, look up our Twitter website, just Richmond TT. And look at the Marlon Pickett videos I've been posting. Like I can't stop watching that. I'm obsessed by that tackle early on Cripps, which was just amazing, where he flipped him over. Just watch the video. I can't do it justice with a verbal description, but I've been magnetized by it. I've watched it so many times. But on the flip side, Cripps is still like, he's a man's man in the center. Their second goal.
Yeah, he's huge. He's bigger than Jack.
He just benched. His second goal, Nank wins the tab, taps it back to Cochin, and he bench presses Cochin a couple of meters and wins a clear clearance, and that's how they kick the goal, which, of course, the commentators miss. Luke Hodge starts talking about the weather at that moment when it was, you know, one of the most impressive clearances you'll ever see. But they are a very impressive team through the midfield and their contested ball, and we were able to beat them. So that, and yes, they have issues with their back line, but not to be underestimated. To me, that was a very impressive game. And this is the first time, I think, that I've come away from a game this year thinking we are a genuine finals team.
Yeah, and doing so without Dusty, who sort of adds... I mean, they obviously clearly had quite a few more players out, but he really adds, both spark up forward, but also having an extra big body to go through midfield... as well. Jaden Short, 24 kicks and one handball as a midfielder is pretty incredible.
Yeah, he's playing a very Richmond role, isn't he? Because it's so specific what he's doing, and where you using his strengths perfectly.
Yeah.
And he's having he's had better years of it. I mean, he's had an All-Australian year, so obviously he's an impressive guy, but statistically, on the AFL rankings, he's having by far his best year because he's kicking the ball to much more dangerous spots.
Mm. We mentioned he had the most metres gained of any player in the AFL this season. He also had the most inside 50s of any player has had in the game this year.
Just fascinating football. Mm. Now, Nick, we've gone this far, and I think according to the sort of the old-fashioned contested champion data ratings, the best player was actually Vlostone with his 10 intercepts.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, I did think he was very good, but I mean, I've got him right next, both Liam Baker, who, you know, we've talked about before, in recent weeks, but he is going really well. He's averaging 26 disposals a game over his last five, which is career best for him. And he was just constantly linking, constantly contesting, flying for marks against people 15 centimetres taller than him. Like, he just... The work rate was inspiring.
I fear we're about to talk about the same people we always do in this game. So, but before... This is almost the first time we talk about Liam Baker, metronomically. And he did have a great game. But I want to recognise that Graham... aside from that beautiful kick over the top to Tom Lynch just before the half, He had a very rare 100 over 100 pressure points, and he had 10 tackles in sort of more understandable metrics. So it was just incredibly – it was only a 19 possession game, but it was just incredibly – his amount of work rate around the contest was above elite, even by his standards. And then also some of his scything kicks as a receiver were very important to the game. One of his better games.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those sort of it's having people in the midfield to do the different roles. Like I honestly thought Kane Lambert was labouring through three parts of the game. Like, he's not running as fast as he used to be able to, but he's still come away with 23 possessions just on sheer effort and positioning. It was impressive.
Yeah, I noticed a few times he had to, like, you had to seem visibly try to run.
Yeah.
And that's not a good sign, but I completely agree. Very impressive that he's still playing. Such a shame, because he's so important to us. He's such a smart, hardworking footballer.
And to the way we structured. The idea that Judson Clark could replace him one day, it's not crazy. It wasn't his night. You know, it wasn't much of a night for skinny forward flankers, but he shows a bit.
He does. There was a moment, you know, very early on, he set up one of our goals when he turned in ball and kicked a beautiful left foot scything pass. I don't think also it's, you know, it's one of the advantages of being really young. I'm not sure his opponent realised that he was a left footer. he does valuable things. I really hope they stick with him. I can see the temptation to drop him.
Yeah, it's emergency podcast entirely justified by beating Carlton, but it's frustrating we don't have, we're 24 hours ahead of the VFL, so sort of, you know, it's hard to say if somebody has a huge game tomorrow, but yeah, I like him. He's a good young prospect.
And now while you brought up the young small forwards, it gives me an excuse to bring up a point I wanted to make, is that Bolter's injury is really bad for us. And it's bad for us in the medium term. It's bad for him personally. He was playing well in that game.
Yeah.
And he probably should have... He had one goal. He should have had two. He was doing sort of the useful Noel Bolter, not dominant on the stat sheet, but doing high variance things. In fact, on the aforementioned champion, he was better than half. He's in the top half of our rated players. But his injury for just winning that game was perfectly timed. Rioli made a real difference in the game with his speed. And
I sent you a message. I was just, Essendon last night had James Stewart as their sub, like a specialist key forward. Like, so you're covering an injury to 2 out of 22 players.
Like, it's just
on the team.
It's quick. I was trying, and other teams do this too. And it's just, sorry, we're going on a rant here, but it's so crazy to me, because I can see what they're thinking is we've got a lot of smalls, so we can cover them. You know, we can always shuffle the smalls around to cover holes, but a tall's a tall, and you can't replace that. Well, you know, football's random. Like, you might get one contest in the last 15 minutes of a game where you need a tall. Like, Rioli, if look out, the Carlton players knew he was there. They knew he was fresh. His reputation's big enough. He was his chasers were making miss kicks all over the place, not to mention the fact that he set up the goal.
The goal
because of his hard running.
Should he have run on and had a shot?
Probably, yes, but it was actually quite a good kick. Like, it looked terrible in the moment. You know, he missed it, but, you know, Edwards was in an absolute acre of space, and, you know, he is kicking to the sort of the, you know, one of the venerable veterans of the team. Like, you can hardly blame him for it, the point is, though, he's running and he's chasing. Like, it was a real spark plug in the game, and it was very important. So the way any coach would not sort of, you know, the average injury is going to happen probably in the third quarter. The way any coach wouldn't want someone like Rioli in that role makes no sense to me. Yep. I digress.
No, Look, we've got a funny couple of weeks coming up. You know, Geelong's obviously a huge test for us. Then having the Eagles and Kangaroos in a 3-week period, break even on our other games, and with those two, we're going to have a percentage over 130, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm certainly more confident about the Geelong game, but we'll come to that. Mm. Just wanted to recognise Pickett as well. I've already waxed through.
You've already recognised Pickett.
Yes, but yes. I just want to come back to it, that he's just an absolute delight to, he's one of the hard man of the team other than Nank. But also that left foot goal that he opened the game with was absolutely pure skill. Oh, and he had 20 touches. And
he's
I think he's a top 100 AFL ranked player at the moment. Like, he's just, everything about him is so much fun, and I'm loving his football. I'm
and
loving
watching him play. In a tough, scrappy game, having guys like that who just don't take a backward step ever is fantastic. Someone else who did a power work, Nathan Broad. You know, I mean, it's the team dynamic. Like, I thought Tarrant was pretty good on McKay most of the night. Fourth quarter blitz notwithstanding, but just that combination of Broad doing a ton of running, zoning back, covering up when Carlton players break free, combined with Charlie Curnow getting a bath from Dylan Grimes. Like, yeah, we're lucky to have them.
Well, we absolutely are. Like, they were, all of them were just so solid across the back line. And so, you know, there was just a simple mark that Broad took, which was just so good and so talented on a wet night. Yeah, so anyway, all very exciting. Now, is there anyone else you wanted to highlight, Nick?
Oh, look, Jack's just constant work rate. That his two goals, one was from a crumb and another one from a holding the ball.
Yes, good point.
The him kicking the goal to move ahead of Kernahan in a big Richmond Carlton games, you know, appreciate that.
Well called, actually, during the game.
Yes. Yeah, the call was pretty good. They missed a horrible high tackle on Jack that wasn't paid as a free kick, but they did a pretty good job.
I also think I'm not sure Jack can second ruck, because he gets the free kick he got for in the back in the fourth quarter against him when he was rucking, which was a crucial moment in the game and set up a goal. Like, that doesn't get called against anyone else in the AFL. It's just lifetime of payback for Jack's smart-ass comments to the umpires. That's the thing. Like, if you're going to get ref like that, it's just very hard to play ruck.
Mm. Charlie Curnow has averaged over 3 goals a game against all the other teams in the AFL and has 1 goal in 2 games against Richmond this year. You know, still leading the Coleman, still got it handed to him by Dylan Grimes.
I mean, it's just incredible. And, like, it's a really interesting question about sort of can we... So Robbie Tarrant, to his full credit, played... Apparently, it was the first 6 minutes of the game he did his knuckle. And Dimmer was... And he's had an operation today, apparently. Mm. And Dimmer said in the post-match press conference, he's pretty tough, he'll be right.
You wonder if he wears a glove the way Jack has.
Yeah, but I just, you know, there was a little bit of an expectation there. I don't know. they'll do the right thing, I'm sure. They'll only do it if it's sort of 60-40. But
that's why doctors rather than coaches make decisions.
Exactly. but yeah, the yeah, there was definitely a message there. Not that he is very, apparently Dimmer has talked before that he's very, he plays even sometimes when the doctors don't want him to.
Yeah. I thought, you know, we kept Gibkiss away from Kurno and McKay, but he was pretty solid, I thought.
Every week he does something that impresses me. And I think with Bolter out now, that is, we're more likely to see him a bit more of him forward, which, you know, makes us all very excited. We can dream about him turning into a key position prospect. But it'll be interesting, you know, next week, obviously, Tom O'Helk and Cameron. A big test, and frankly, I don't want Gibkiss too close to any of them. But
he's played on Cameron before and done okay
in preseason. Yeah, so like there's chances, you know. I mean, in modern AFL, you might not necessarily play on someone, but do you get 15 minutes over the course of a game on someone? You know, and I'm sure he can do it adequately. But yeah, the Tom Holt matchup might go to Ben Miller if Tarrant can't get up.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. Well, Cameron's now the gun. It's not, I mean,
yeah,
Tom Holt's good, but, and potentially you bring in Soldo for Bolter as a, which gives you.
It's a forward rock.
yeah. It gives you more, because you can't, he's so good in the forward line, you can't really. I don't think you can go with a run-muck solution, which was disappointing. As you know, Nick, I was very flat about Soldo's dropping.
Geelong, I want to touch on a few AFLW things before we get to Geelong, but they do play two specialist rucks. Well, they've got two genuinely good rucks, like Blitzars plays in other positions as well, but yeah. So, it's a tricky one.
Yeah, one thing I hope we don't drop Hugo, because he didn't have a good game. It didn't come off for him, but he's so important. His speed, his line breaking speed is so valuable.
And he was cracking in. Particularly on the MCG, I'd keep him. I like having him around.
Okay, Nick, now I just have to bring up one thing, Nick, and I know you don't like it, but I just have to get this off my chest about something that I've been questioning myself. And, you know, I won't go through them again, but, you know, I've got reasonably strong views on how Shedder's playing at the moment.
Yeah, it's not great.
And I'm questioning myself whether am I looking at this objectively, or am I just so disappointed it's not 28-year-old Shedder? You know, he basically...
Yeah.
Shedder was incredibly instrumental in the 20 grand final. Like, I'm not saying you can't say anyone's more important than Dusty, but if you look at his stats from this year, he was amazingly important. Now, that was sort of an outlier stat in his years of... And sort of, am I... And the point I'm making is I'm judging him against old Shedder, but that's not the point. Old Shedder's gone. The point is he... in the best 22 now? Like, there's really a question is, if we play George instead of him, does the forward, like, no doubt Shedder's still a better attacking player, but does the forward half pressure and the chaos that George has creates more valuable than Shedder? So I guess the question, to me, I was sort of tossing up in my head, is Shedder still a better option than George right now? And I don't know. Like, that's what I'm trying to teach myself to stop judging him against old Shedder and just judge him for what he is in 2022. But what do you think?
It's a good question. I hadn't thought of it that way.
It's because I love Judson. I want him to stay in. Like, there's a bias, inherent bias here towards the sexy young player. But like, just roll with me on this one, because like, in some way. Like, something went wrong today. We had 76 inside 50s and scored 81.
Yeah. Look, I honestly don't feel like Judson's... look, I think Judson's going to be in and out of the team. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Like, I think George has got to force their hand playing really well. We've seen Sheds as a sub before, you know, that might be the case. I don't know. Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Yeah, and also it might be a perfect role for Lambert. a guy who...
Yeah, like, I don't know. Oh, that's true. He was sub last week, which is...
Yeah, yeah. He was sub, but, you know, it's a good thing because he's got versatility. He can play everywhere. Yeah. And if he has to, he'll force his body to play 3.5 quarters. But now if he only has to play a quarter, that's less wear and tear.
Yeah, and with the North and West Coast games coming up, do you try and sort of get Lambert through a couple of games?
Anyway, sorry, I digress. You were talking about AFLW.
So we sort of had a last little flurry of list moves. Talia Stahl retired. She's been a fixture of Richmond's AFLW team across the first three seasons. Played 21 of 25 games. Like, sort of never, you know, sort of flashed in and out of games, rather than, you know, ever particularly dominating. But, you know, she's definitely been, you know, part of the Richmond women's team story. And, you know, it is her like Pickett. You know, she's come from a background where, you know, she's been in trouble when she was younger, and to come back and to have a career at top level sport is pretty admirable. I mean, I think getting Steph Williams from Geelong, you know, we were probably trending towards a bit more pace and tackling with our small forwards anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, I think like, just looking at her from a purely stats nerd perspective, and I think your point about her life journey is the key one, but it was sort of her disposal count was going down each year, and I wonder whether she sort of, as the quality of the team improved, she got more peripheral, but she was definitely in the last five or six games of last year, and she played basically the whole second half of the season. I think she missed one or two at the start. Yeah, she was really struggling to touch the football, and yeah, so good luck to her in her future endeavours. But it was certainly I think the significance of it, as you say, is probably more about her life journey than it is about sort of the on-field impact of her retirement.
Mm. Yeah, we also signed Jemima Woods as a delisted free agent. She's 19-year-old key forward out of who was with the Bulldogs last year. She was in the Bulldogs Next Gen Academy. And my God, she can take a giant specky. If you Google a mark she took against in the VFLW, yeah, it is a genuine pack mark. Flying over people's heads. So she's a real power athlete. She's also a 19-year-old key forward, so she's pretty raw. And I think, you know, honestly, she's a sort of depth/development player. But, you know, interesting one at least. We traded a late pick for Libby Graham from GWS, who again's more of a depth player as at key back. So yeah, I mean, Grace Egan is clearly the big off-season addition, and then the rest of our moves feel like sort of shoring up depth. But yeah, yeah, no, it's a consolidation period, I think.
Indeed. And as there was a lot more excitement going on in other parts of the AFLW, but
yeah, which you know, look, if we'd managed to spring a high profile player loose from another club, that would have been pretty exciting. But yeah, we've sort of bought in a few fringe players, lost a few fringe players, so yeah, and bought in one, you know, Grace Egan's. Finished top 10 twice in the for a team that's been a finals, regular finals contender. So, you know, she'll obviously improve the team. But, yeah, it's Yeah, we've set out a lot of the fireworks.
Indeed. Geelong.
Oh, there is a little bit of a struggle. I feel like we've done so many Geelong previews over the years. So you sort of,
and they haven't particularly changed.
They haven't particularly changed. How do you feel about Tyson Stengel being good for them?
I think considering he had time somewhere else, you have to let that one go. And yes. I mean, on the scale of how much it annoys me that Butler's a still a top 100 player and Higgins, although he's not, is quite a useful forward. Probably more Higgins, who, you know, I think you know my views on Higgins' loyalty issues, and I'd certainly like him on the team right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. Yeah,
It's been a while,
it was a journey for Tyson. He's had some ups and downs.
He's had some real challenges. Yeah, he played two games for us 5 years ago. Or not quite James Thiessen revenge premiership for Adelaide in the mid-90s, but pretty close.
And as you say, the Cats are playing two genuine rucks, and they're both in the top 100 players at the moment. So playing very well. Jeremy Cameron's not having his best season, but is still very dangerous. Tom Stewart is
still very good. Still Tom very Hawkins good. Probably on the decline, but
dangerous.
Still very dangerous.
And randomly, Joel Selwood annoyingly is still playing semi decent football.
I know, it's frustrating. Of the younger players, Sam De Koning's been pretty good. He's brother of Tom, who we just saw, but he's a 202-centimeter and pretty athletic. Can take a mark. So yeah, it's always annoying when Geelong have good young players, but they don't have a ton of them.
Indeed. They don't. They're not a great clearance team. Like, they're okay, but they're not. Even though we seem to have slain that dragon, it still always worries me when a team's really good at it. But that is not their strength. They are. They are unfortunately sort of on the advanced metrics about sort of differential and inside 50s. They're actually pretty strong on that. So like their record is legit, unfortunately. So yeah, it's sort of like we are mild favourites.
Yeah, I mean we'll see how they go against the Eagles, and if they have any injuries. Like their recent form's good without being outstanding. Like it, I don't know. It is an enormous game for us. I mean, look, honestly, I still think we're in pretty good shape if we lose, but if we win with some of the other games coming up, it's that the season opens up substantially.
Yeah, and it's an 8-point game, and it really, really cements us up there. It's at the MCG. We've so rarely played at the MCG when we've had a semi-full list. Now we're lacking.
It's an away game, remember?
I know, hilarious. But we're lacking our two key defenders on a day when that was the one team that you really want them against. Maybe except for Carlton. We've got Dusty comes back now. I just want to talk about Dusty briefly. I've been holding this till now. So, conspiracy Andy, as I'm not the only one. Dusty
not being the only one, it doesn't mean you're in good company.
No. Let me finish. But I hear you though. Dusty's flu did get called out awfully early after a weekend he spent in Sydney. If Dimmer, the way Dimmer talked about it in the press conference after, like if they're covering for him for something else, my God, they're going deep undercover, and to be disingenuous. And I really don't think Dimmer's like that. So in the press conference, Dimmer said...
There is a genuinely nasty flu going around.
Yeah. If he doesn't play next week, I'll sort of my opinion of Dimmer's honesty will change quite a lot. But I must admit, having seen Dimmer's comments, the conspiracy... Andy's not winning the inner battle with me about what's really going with Andy. Non-conspiracy, and Andy thinks that Dusty probably was just sick. So, all of that is to say, I expect him to play next week.
Yeah. Yeah, and fingers crossed he plays really well. I mean,
he doesn't have to play really well. He just has to play, like, even the Port what he gave us against Port Adelaide. Those two goals, another player doesn't necessarily kick those two goals. Like, that's a huge difference. I mean, it was something I was going to ask you, Nick. Mate, who's our most valuable player? Who's the player you don't want injured for Richmond anymore?
Ooh, that's a... Probably Prestia in terms of how difficult he is to replace. I mean, Tom Lynch is pretty painful to lose as well, but yeah. Dusty'd be top three.
Dusty'd be top three, but yeah, I think it's Prestia. And it is a good point that you make about the difficulty you replace, and part of the unfortunately, none of our inside mids in the VFL say they're not kicking goals would be an understatement.
Well, tomorrow's another day, thankfully.
Indeed.
From last week. I'm not going to talk about Jordan Dugowie, the human being, but I think it is worth noting that Jordan Dugowie, the footballer, still isn't as good as 80% of Dustin Martin this year on the most important statistical measures, and sort of overall, Dusty edges him. So yeah, he's still very good.
And look, I will make a point. I don't want to talk about Dugowie, the footballer, either, but. But it's useful to reflect in 2017, which was the equivalent of what Dugowie is going through now. If you recall what Dusty did and how saint-like his behaviour was and how dedicated he was, because he knew he was coming into the most important contract of his life. So, yeah, it's a reflection of... Anyway, we shall see. We may well play the Collingwood in the final, so that would be exciting.
Yeah. You know that part of, and we should finish, but there is still a little part of me that thinks it's funny how we don't have a particularly good record in regular season games against Geelong in recent years, but our finals record against them is immaculate.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point, but I just feel like there's so many times we've played them with understrength teams.
Mm. Horribly so.
And I just think this is the time we might get one back on them. So, like, it's a huge game and good fun. And I know people are excited to be. I mean, it's not even a great time spot, but at least it's Saturday afternoon, 4:30. Yeah. I think the kickoff is.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are excited to be at the G. So even though it's a away game, we might actually get better crowd than some of our awful Thursday night slots. So yeah, it's exciting. Hopefully, it'll be a nice day. Football at the G, traditional rival. Can't wait.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond.
It starts with a vision. If we're not locked into that, might as well pack up and go home.
You're talking about three flags by 2020. Fitzroy has played in more finals than you guys.
And after 13 straight losses, the Tigers are no longer toothless. Their first win for 2010. Carmichael Hunt. Pick up Jeffrey. He does. Carlton are on their way to Sydney.
We're starting to kick a goal from here. He does. What a start. Coming to slow. He's gone. No free kick, surely.
In the final home and away game of the season, obliterating the Tigers by 113 points.
First preliminary final in 16 long years, and they have done it. They've won. The Tigers are into the prelim.
Just stand up! Tigers.